Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Back here on Fantasy Sports Today, Dan Strapper, George Kurtz with you for the next hour leading up to 10 a.m. here on the East Coast. Well, I'm on the East Coast. Where are you? Let us know over there on Twitter, FNTSY Radio. On Twitter, I'm at Dan Strapper. Of course, it's at George Kurtz. We are the most creative Twitter handles in fantasy sports. I kid because I care. George, we reset here at the top of the hour, and we keep an eye on Khalil Mack. I'm not one who gets too invested in defenses when it comes to fantasy football. It's a late round pick. If there's a run that happens, I maybe get in on it, but try to leave that and kicker if I'm playing in a kicker league till the end. Does this influence your ranking or your drafting of a Chicago Bears defense or change anything for you? Or do you see this as simply ranking as is and the guy's going to wreak some havoc against some offensive lines, but won't adjust their overall performance too much?
Yeah, I don't think I'm putting Chicago in my top 10 defenses, although it certainly makes them more interesting. Generally, sacks get your point, right, for defenses in most leagues. So the thing is, once again, he hasn't played. No preseason, no camp. I think for the month of September, he may just be a situational pass rusher before they get him back in shape, ready to know what defense is getting back in there full time. It certainly has to raise an eyebrow. That's the bottom line. It has to raise an eyebrow here. But I don't think it's going to put Chicago, not on for the season long. There could be weeks where they are top 10. But I have in the past written sort of a backwards column about how defenses can be attacked each week. And I usually write that on Thursdays. And I rank the teams 1 to 32 or however many teams are playing that week. And now Chicago, where they may have been more the middle of the pack, is probably more the end of the pack now, which is a good thing. Because they won't. This was a good defense anyway, and if Khalil Mack is up to par, where really, if he can get game shape, game ready, if he can do it quickly, this defense is going to be really, really good. I just don't see it being a great fantasy defense. Not yet, though.
Yeah, if you look at last season, and listen, there are different ways to assess the defense in football, and you can go to a site like Football Outsiders and deal with DVOA and try to get advanced metrics on it, or you can go a little bit more old school and talk yards allowed and points allowed and that, and both have their merits, to be honest. The Bears were the defense that I would target from a daily fantasy perspective when I wanted tight ends. I wanted tight ends over the middle because they play a soft, too high safety defense most of the time. So I go that way. Looking at this linebacker and defensive line core, though, this is a scary defense. And there's a couple of analysts on Twitter already saying this is a top 10 defense for 2017 that's getting a top 5 defender or even a top 10 defender. That is scary. And Georgia said it raises an eyebrow. I don't know if it's, you know, quote unquote, hashtag adjust your rankings worthy. But I do think that this could be a defense that scares the crap out of opposing offenses. And ones that don't have good offensive lines, ones that have quarterbacks who hold on to the ball a little bit long. As George said, DFS, like, this is a defense that may put up 7 to 10 sacks on a really good week. And I mean that literally. That's not hyperbole there. I do think there's some gigantic upside. We go to the phones here on FNTSY. We bring in Kenny from Philadelphia. Kenny, how you doing on this Saturday morning?
What's up, man? How you doing, Georgie?
What's up, Ken? Good to hear from you on a weekend.
Yeah, I know, man. I'm working on the weekends now, so yeah, you'll be hearing a lot more of me. Hey, y'all, I got two questions. Y'all know how these best ball drafts go. So I'm in a 2-quarterback, 12-team best ball draft, right? And you know, certain people, you know, so it's kind of odd who goes in the first round, this, that, and the third, whether you get a quarterback or not. But my team is set. But I got an issue. Like I said, it's a 2-quarterback super flex league or whatever. So I didn't draft a kicker. I forgot. So how much is this? I know y'all talk about kickers and everybody don't like kickers in the league, but how much is this going to hurt me on a week-to-week basis, really?
Well, you're going to lose on average 6 to 8 points, right, by not drafting a kicker. I'm surprised you were able to do that. And I wish these sites would make you draft a kicker and a defense, but for that matter. I know some sites, even in regular standard leagues, you don't have to. You just pick one up before week one. Yeah. Obviously, you're in a best ball. You're screwed. So you lost 6 to 8 points per week there, Ken. You're not going to be happy.
What's interesting, though, and George, I would have to look at the actual numbers of it, though. Per average player that you drafted, do you get a bump that is legitimately worthwhile? I don't know if that's the case. It's just an interesting question to ask, don't waste the spot.
I'm assuming that all of my other players are going to have to see, which is, like I said, my team is pretty stacked, but this is best ball. Like, it's literally nothing I can do, of course, but that's fine. But my second question is, all right, I got a live draft, my home league, we're drafting today. I'm picking number two. So from the mock drafts I've done, and rounds, like, I done went through all the way up to, like, round 10 or 11. I already have I drafted Njoku in one of them or whatever. But my point is, around round 10, like, there's nobody there. I mean, I looked 12 to 18 spots earlier, see if anybody I like. So my overall question is, what do you do when there's no one there you like? How do you go about that? I ended up picking up Jack Doyle. So I got two tight ends. I could start two tight ends in it. But like I said, this is just a mock draft, just to see a ballpark figure of where everybody was. But what do you do when there's no one there that you like? That's all, fellas.
When there's no one there I like, you know, it's funny. Dan actually started this question about defenses. And if I'm – round 10 is still too early, but if it's round 11, round 12, even though we're proponents, you wait till round 15 and take a defense, whatever it might be. You know, if there's a situation where I hate everybody that's left, there's just no one calling, you know, that's speaking to me, no one's saying, hey, draft me, then I'm not against taking Jacksonville in round 12. I might as well get the best defense and hope I hit lightning in a bottle again where they light up and score points every week like Philadelphia has done in the past. That's when I'll take a defense, when there's – I'm in those double-digit rounds. There's no one I like. It's rare, though, because, like I said, there has to be nobody. No running backs are speaking to me at all. And I like my backup, as many backup running backs as possible. But in your situation, Kenny, if I'm just – I hate everybody. I mean, it's one of those moods, then I might take my defense a little earlier than I probably should.
All right, Woman, what do you guys think of Cleveland's defense this year?
If improved. If they're put in the right position by their defensive coordinator, I think they have the skills to do it. I really wonder, Kenny and George, to get your take next. I wonder if this is a team that can take this step this year. Like, if this is an offense that can hold on to the ball a little longer, that's obviously a big problem for defense. If they're on the field more, they're going to give up more points, just the fact of the math of it all. So if this offense can be improved, I like the defense to take a nice jump into the teens, the high teens, but the teens in respectability. So, George, I don't know if you see it differently, George, but I think if the offense is improved and hold the ball a little longer, this defense will see a marked improvement.
Well, that always makes sense, right? If the offense has the ball more, I mean, think about the Cowboys have been doing to protect their defense in recent years. Run the ball, keep the ball 35 minutes. Keep your defense off the field. Obviously, if they're not on the field, they can't give up big plays, but it also keeps them fresh. You know, I think Cleveland... I mean, they're not going to have the offense the Cowboys do. They can actually throw the ball because they have receivers. So it won't be the same thing, but it's still a better offense. There won't be too many three and outs in Cleveland, no matter who the quarterback is. They'll get some first downs. They have weapons at each position. You know, you got Josh Gordon, you got Landry, you got Njoku, you got a running game with Chubb, Hyde, and Duke Johnson. You have a decent offensive line. I feel so bad for Joe Thomas. He retires when Cleveland actually might be worth something again. So all this points to the fact that the defense will be fresher, will be better. Once again, not a top fantasy defense, but it's getting better.
I think that I'm in both North divisions, the AFC North, that kind of goes, everybody gets bunched up together just a little bit, of course, with Pittsburgh standing out just a little bit. But as far as the NFC North, you got Minnesota, and I think the Packers might, you know, with the news of the Khalil Mack trade, and, I mean, Chicago is, I mean, you know how division races are, rivalry games, and they're always kind of tight in Detroit. I think that the Packers, Detroit, and the Bears kind of get closer together here with depending on what, I mean, Rodgers is amazing. I mean, but he got to have somebody throw the ball to. I mean, come on. They're talking about Tariq Cobb now. I mean, come on. I think they fall just a little bit closer back to the pack. But I'll let you guys go. I know you guys got the show to do, so I'll be listening, fellas.
I appreciate it, Kenny. Have a good day at work. He said he was working more on the weekend, so have a good day at work. I do think that the NFC North is an interesting case study in rivalry games. I'm not a big single game guy. Like, I like the sample sizes, and I don't like to look at just, hey, you know, when Rodgers faces the Vikings over his career, those numbers don't bear out anything that's actually actionable. But I do think that the Packers have lost skilled players over the years. I like Jimmy Graham there. Don't think he's going to have a gigantic year. But the Vikings obviously getting Kirk Cousins, George. Their offensive line needs help. And now with Khalil Mack in Chicago, you probably think their offensive line needs even more help. But do you see the NFC North being more of a three-team race with the Bears, maybe Trubisky taking the next step with Nagy as the head coach there and it being? Or do you see the Packers still as the lead dog with the Vikings and Bears chasing after?
Oh, I think the Vikings have a team to beat. I do. Maybe. I mean, Kirk Cousins could get off to a slow start, and that could bring him back down to the pack. But really, we're other than the offensive line, which is still really below average, Vikings have everything else. I mean, they really do. If Cousins gets off to an average start, this team's going to be a tough team to beat. That defense is loaded at all levels. Dalvin Cook is back. And even if Cook is off to a slow start, you got Latavius Murray, who's a decent back in his own right. Solid tight end Kyle Rudolph. Good raw passing game with Thielen and Diggs here. I like the Vikings here. For me, it's hard not to like them. Detroit, I think, is still a good, solid team. They'll give people headaches. Chicago now is interested in Khalil Mack. I mean, they really are. It all comes down to me is when can he get up to speed here? And guess who plays each other next Sunday night, by the way? Next Sunday night, Chicago and Green Bay. You know, so if I'm the Packers, I'm pretty happy that, yeah, Mack will be there, and I'm sure he'll play. But, you know, he could be a little out of shape for that game, so maybe he's not quite the threat there. But as far as Green Bay, I mean, the offensive line and linebacking core, they've already been banged up this preseason. I love Devontae Adams, but who else is going to emerge there as a pass catcher? Is Jimmy Graham really anything more than a red zone threat now at this point in his career? You know, he's not that player he was with New Orleans who could get down the field, you know, and be a threat to on seam passes. He's not. He's lost a step, maybe a step and a half. You know, is he anything more than a mismatch in the red zone? You know, the running game, Montgomery, Williams, Aaron Jones, who breaks out there? Is it Aaron Jones once the suspension is up? And will they use the running game? Because isn't Green Bay, you can make an argument for them. I love Aaron Rodgers. One of my favorite players to watch. But, you know, you can't, if you're throwing the ball over the field, you're going to put your defense out there a lot because you're not killing enough clock. So you can make an argument that they need to need to do what they did with Drew Brees in New Orleans last year. I understand you don't have a Kamara, and you don't have an Ingram, you don't have quite that level. But if you have a good running game and you don't throw the ball as much, you're protecting that defense. And that defense all of a sudden took the next step. Not that Green Bay has the same level of talent on defense that New Orleans does, but I think they need to protect it. You don't want to get the too many 38-35 games.
Makes sense to me. I think that you're right on with the Vikings being the team to beat. Even if Cousins gets off to a pedestrian start, to be honest, I know it's division games to start the year, but from a fantasy perspective, looking for big time numbers from Cousins, I have him pretty highly ranked this year comparatively to the rest of the quarterback field. But I just don't see Green Bay having enough. I think the Bears, I love Trubisky as a breakout this year. I think that the potential is there for him to really make that next step to be a viable fantasy quarterback. I just don't know if it translates completely for the Bears to wins on the season. And then you do have the Packers, and I agree with the Jimmy Graham assessment that he's just not going to be enough of a threat there for Aaron Rodgers. Kenny also brought up the AFC North. Listen, I am a bit of a Cleveland Browns truther. I believe in what Sashi did there. I am a money ball proponent when it even comes to football. You have bad players, you shed salary, you get down low, you get a bunch of draft picks, and over 3 or 4 years, you hope 65% of them pan out, 50% of them pan out, and then all of a sudden you have a core, and they do have a core there. I think Baker Mayfield's the real deal. I like the Tyrod Taylor signing, or bringing him in, I should say. And I think, obviously, the wide receivers are very skilled if Josh Gordon stays healthy. And then the defense, and I made the joke, but if the defense there can get out of its own way, utilize Jabril Peppers properly, and start flying around the field like they do have the talent there, I think this Cleveland Browns team, I made a wager with a coworker about the Browns in next season, 2019, being a playoff team. I think they're a legitimate threat to be a playoff team next year if everything proceeds according to how their depth chart seems to be and if Hugh Jackson gets out of their way. How do you see the AFC North shaking out? Are you a Tyrod or Baker fan, or do you see this just being Pittsburgh's division until further notice?
Yeah, I almost feel bad for Tyrod Taylor because I think he's a better quarterback than we probably give him credit for, but he was, you know, Buffalo, who never really gave him weapons outside of LeSean McCoy. He couldn't make it work with Sammy Watkins. He left. Kelvin Benjamin's not really a wide receiver, NFL wide receiver one, so he didn't have great weapons there. Now he goes to Cleveland, and he has better weapons, but it's just a matter of time until Baker Mayfield takes over.
Yep.
I'm of the belief, Dan, when it comes to these rookie quarterbacks, this is almost all of them. If your team is not a playoff contender, which most of these teams are not because, hey, that's why you're able to be at the right top of the draft and draft the quarterback because your team sucked last year. So, assuming that's the case, as soon as you're out of contention, or I shouldn't say that, as soon as the rookie quarterback is ready to play, be it week 1, 4, 7, 10, whenever it might be, the rookie quarterback needs to play. Because if I'm the coach, I want to get the rookie mistakes, the rookie blues out of the way this year. This way, next year starts off fresh. I know this year is done already, you know, so I want to get the mistakes out now. Next year starts off fresh. This way we can do that. I don't rush the rookie quarterback. That's why I said I feel bad for Tyrod Taylor. I think he deserves to start. But as soon as Cleveland, in this case, you know, if Baker Mayfield's ready week 6, you're 2-4, and Cleveland's schedule does sort of line up where they could be that way, even though they're in a much improved team. Tyrod goes away again. Mayfield comes back. I feel bad for Taylor. He never really gets a true shot.
More to come on the AFC North, and we'll go division by division the rest of the way to talk about what we see happening, maybe some fantasy studs that may emerge because of playoff battles and teams that may not have been in it but are now as the season goes on. Plenty to get to here on Fantasy Sports Day. Dan Schrapper, George Kurtz back with you after this.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Not sure there's anyone out there getting more jiggy with it than me and George Kurtz here on a Saturday morning. Fantasy Sports Day on FNTSY, Fantasy Sports Radio. George, are you a big Will Smith fan?
I actually am a Will Smith fan, both his music and his acting, so I do enjoy The Fresh Prince.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was a damn good show, and I enjoy most of his movies. I would say that Wild Wild West was a bit of a miss for me, but beyond that, I've always enjoyed his acting, and his music's good. His music's really solid. So I do joke about getting jiggy with it. I'm firmly planted in a seat. There's no dancing happening, at least this early in the morning. I don't want to pull anything. George, getting old sucks. And you know, I can't roll out of bed and dance anymore. I got to slowly make my way towards it. Maybe a beer or two before I get out on the dance floor. So thus is life at the age of 36. But three kids.
Poor baby. You're 36. Wow.
Hey, I whine with the best of them, my friend. Get used to it. It is going to be.
Cheese.
Yes, please. It's funny. My kids have so this is a funny one, but my kids think it's funny when we have wine in the house to grab the bottle of wine and bring it over and be like, "Hey, Dad, I'm whining," and put the wine down in front of us. Like, you're cornier than I am, daughter. Like, come on, stop. What are you doing? But Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, so good, so good. Nice drop, Sean. I want to talk about the rest of the AFC North here. I'm a big believer in this Pittsburgh offense, as is everybody, right? You get Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, two top 10 picks in most fantasy drafts, if they're not really sure about the league you're in. But I've read, George, that we should see more no-huddle offense from Pittsburgh this year. The change in offensive coordinator and basically installing the Big Ben offense, like what he wants to run, should lead to more no-huddle. Does that put you even more on this? If you can be, I guess, like 1.1 or 1.5 or 1.7 for Bell and Brown. Does that make you like them more, or is this just icing on top of an already bountiful cake of fantasy goodness?
Yeah, I don't think it can make you like them more. You're already taking Antonio Brown in the first round. Just a matter of where Le'Veon Bell was generally going, no worse than a second overall pick. So it really comes down to your other players here. You know, your Juju Smith-Schuster's, maybe your James Washington's, if you like him, and probably most of all, Ben Roethlisberger. Ben, we all know the knock on Ben, all right? The splits, home road. He's had his issues, to say the least, on the road. Now, it has, I put a set of time or two. I wonder, maybe it's not so much Ben on the road. Maybe it was the play calling on the road.
Sure.
Maybe Todd Haley, you know, played a little close to the vest on the road, which a lot of teams do. You know, so when Todd Haley's not there anymore. Now, Ben and Todd didn't get along. You know, I wonder if that was part of it. You know, that Ben took all the heat, and maybe it was Haley's play calling. A lot of it also was because Todd Haley would not call quarterback sneaks. He was trying to protect Ben. And I don't think that's Haley. I think they may have come from the organization up top saying, don't call these plays because we don't want them to get hurt, Tomlin and above. But still, Ben got mad at Haley for it. So I wonder if that played a part in it. So it is in the back of my mind. That being said, I mean, how far up do you want to move Ben? Right now, he's in that 10 to 14 range as far as QB1s are concerned. You're going to move to top 8? Doesn't really change things dramatically. And you're still drafting him in a round between rounds 9 and 12. That's
right.
Where he's going.
Yep.
So I don't think it changes things dramatically, really, for anybody. Smith-Schuster is still a round 3, round 4 pick. Maybe it bumps up James Washington, who was already getting bumped up anyway. He originally was, I guess, what we call a sleeper nowadays, a round 14 guy, dartboard throw. But because he was showing up in every highlight reel, and Ben kept talking him up, that he started, I don't want to say shooting up draft boards, but it became more necessary to draft him around 11, around 12 if you wanted him now. So maybe it helps James Washington more than anything else. I just don't see how you can really bump up the other players all that much more than they already are.
Yep, I think that's right. I think it is just a nice confirmation bias. It's nice to see them discuss no huddle, Ben discuss throwing the ball a little bit more, getting more plays off. Is it nice? Hey, I've invested, as you said, 1.2 in Le'Veon Bell or first round pick in Antonio Brown. And listen, in a PPR league, I've said it, and not sure many people listen, but Antonio Brown has one or even, you know, one, any of those picks through 5 has to be considered. Like, he just year in, year out performs to a level that no other player can match. And I hope people have done it. I hope people have invested wisely in Antonio Brown, because it's just the gift that keeps on giving. Now, obviously, eventually that falls off, as it does with every fantasy player, any sport you're playing, the numbers stop returning. I just don't think that'll be this year. I just think the skill set is so high that I'm happy to spend a second or third pick in PPR league on Antonio Brown, and maybe shift the dynamic a little bit too in a draft. And I'm not saying to do it intentionally to piss people off, but shift the way people are drafting. When you are the one who zigs when people zag, and this isn't necessarily a zero RB, robust RB, or fragile, or whatever fantasy football draft strategy you want to discuss. This is just more about drafting to the team you want to build, and maybe going a half round or a round earlier than ADP on guys you want. You will start to push the draft, and you will start to, and obviously last draft week in here, but you'll start to sort of push people to do things they weren't expecting to have to do. Many people come to a draft with a very set idea of how they're going about it. Oh, I'm drafting a running back in the first round. Okay, second round, I'm going to draft a wide receiver. You know, sixth round, seventh round, I'm going to draft a QB. And when you're in that sort of frame of mind and someone else in the draft is drafting the way they want to and not in a rigid state, it's really amazing to see how flustered they can get, how off their game they can get. And that's part of it too. It's kind of like playing poker. Yeah, you want to know your hand, and that's where you want to focus. But being able to read the room and understand where people are going and maybe get out ahead of them from time to time is really an important part as well. You made mention before, George, that you were a Yankees fan. I am as well. When it comes to football, you seem to talk about the Bills with some love in your voice. Are you a Bills fan, or do you go elsewhere for your football fandom?
No, I'm a Cowboy fan.
You're a Cowboy fan.
I guess I am a Bills fan, though, right? They made us look pretty good in the 90s. Thank you, Buffalo. I'm a Cowboy fan.
So you're a Boys fan. Like, okay.
Yeah. So and they're not going to have a very good season this year. I don't care what people think. Find me a receiver, please. Listen, I grew up in the 70s, man. I grew up in the 70s, man. And Giants and Jets sucked back then.
Yeah.
My father wasn't a football fan. So it was easy to be a Cowboy fan. Listen, they had the star, the helmet, the colors were blue and silver.
And you saw them every weekend. They were on every weekend. My oldest brother is a Cowboys fan. So we grew up in New Jersey, and my oldest brother is a Cowboys fan. I'm a Jets fan. So the reason I'm a Jets fan, and I'll admit this to anyone listening, do you remember the cartoon Voltron?
Yes, I do remember. Okay. I didn't ever watch it, but I do remember.
Sure. Okay, it's back now on Netflix. You have kids, they may see it on there. But
still not going to watch it.
It's a good show. Well, the reason is there's a short member of Voltron with glasses named Pidge, who is the nerd of the team. And I may have identified with him a little bit, still do. He wore green. And so when I saw a team in football, and my middle brother wasn't a football fan, my father wasn't a football fan, and my oldest brother was already out of the house pretty much, I liked green, and the Jets are green, and thus I was cursed with rooting for the worst football franchise in NFL history. So I am a Jets fan. I want to transition to the AFC East and talk about the Jets. You may mention about the Cowboys wide receivers. You know, honestly, the Jets wide receiving core with Jermaine Kearse now down is probably just as bad, but you do have, interestingly, Robbie Anderson, Quincy Enunwa. You have guys who started to emerge and become fantasy players the past couple of years, become part of daily fantasy teams. You may mention the Cowboys. Do you think that's possible for the wide receiver set in the Cowboys world, or do you feel like it's just there's no skill there and you need to bring someone in off the street or off a trade to really make a difference for this Cowboys roster?
You know who would make a difference for the Cowboy roster? There is this receiver out there. What's a top receiver? What's his name? Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant would look good in a Cowboy uniform.
There's this guy. He's really skilled. He played in like Oklahoma or Oklahoma State. I don't know, one of those schools. And he was drafted and he played for this team. Yeah, Dez Bryant. That's, you know, it's funny. He said he's not signing till later in the year. Wouldn't that be something if Barry had to call him up? That'd be amazing. But
he's not going back. He's not going to Dallas. No. Dez left because of him and Dak weren't getting along. You know, Dez, at this point in his career, once again, another guy has lost a step and a half. You have to throw up the 50-50 ball. You know, you have no choice. You have to hope he can go out there and out most people and go get it. And Dak doesn't do that. And I think Dallas coaches him not to do that. Romo did it. You know, Roman would still throw the ball and have trust in him. Dak doesn't. So that's the reason there. And I think it frustrated both parties there. Dez wanted the ball. Dak wouldn't throw it. And I think Dak was tired of hearing it. You know, so they moved on there, which I honestly don't blame them for. But I would have much rather have seen a pay cut rather than a release. Yep. And then once Dallas passed on Calvin Ridley in the draft, Leighton Vander Esch has barely been on the field of late because he's hurt. I could be a very good linebacker, but when Calvin Ridley fell to you, I think it was at 19, that was a gift from God, saying, okay, you're not going to have Dez, but we're going to give you Calvin Ridley to replace him, and then you passed up on him. I think that was a mistake by the Cowboys. I'm not touching Dak in fantasy leagues. I mean, there's just no one to throw to there. I do like Michael Gallup in more dynasty leagues, keeper leagues. I think he could develop into something good. And if you're asking me which Cowboy receiver will have the best most points fantasy-wise in the PPR, it's not Allen Hurns. It's probably Cole Beasley. And that's scary, but I think he'll catch by far the most passes. Touchdowns and yardage won't be great, but Cole Beasley will be the guy who probably catches four or five balls a game.
Some other news on releases coming in. Looks like the Giants have released Roger Lewis, who was third on the team in receiving last year, but obviously that's with Odell Beckham on the shelf. You have some special teams folks being released, but we'll continue to update you on anything that comes through about interesting veterans or potential names that have been released up till the 4 p.m. deadline today to get down to 53-man roster across the NFL. Do want to turn attention here to the AFC East. This is the age-old question, right, George, of will Tom Brady finally fail? Will he finally come down to earth and not be able to lead the Pats to the playoffs and potentially the Super Bowl, obviously the playoffs being the goal first and foremost. I look at the Bills. I don't see anything there that is worthwhile. The Dolphins seem to, again, be the lower end of the league. I know lots of people like Kenyon Drake and see some upside there. The Jets are starting a rookie quarterback, and their defense needs work. Is this another year of the Pats going 12-4 after starting the – it always seems they start like 2-2, and I'm like, oh, this is the year. They're going to go 8-8. It's going to be great. And then they win 12 out of 14 games. But do you see this as another 12-4 year and the Pats being the one seed in the AFC?
I mean, their next important game is the divisional round of the playoffs in January.
Yep.
I mean, I'm not a Pats fan. I'm not a Pats hater, mind you. I think I don't have any hatred towards them. It's just that it gets annoying and old when the division can't just do anything. And the Bills are in a rebuild. The Jets, same thing. I don't know what the Dolphins are doing, but that team is very poor. They won't go 6-0 in the division, but what? What's the worst case scenario? 4-2, probably 5-1.
I think it's 4-2 is the absolute worst case where Brady gets pneumonia or something. Like, I just don't see. I don't see it, and I hate it. I live in Massachusetts now. I grew up in New Jersey. I live in Massachusetts. I'm surrounded by Pats fans. I'm surrounded by people who think Tom Brady's a deity, who put him on high each and every Sunday. I can't talk to some of my neighbors during football season. Like, that's how bad it gets. But I've said many times over, until Tom Brady, and I say this lovingly, is dead and buried. I mean, when he's 90. I won't believe that he's not going to win as a Patriots quarterback. Like, I need him to be confirmed deceased to believe the Jets have any sort of chance in the AFC East.
I mean, I don't think New England is all that great a team. I don't. But I don't think there's anybody there that can challenge them.
We not say that every AFC year. I'm with you. It's black magic. They do something.
Well, I mean, they're very well coached. Brady is great. You know, and that a lot of it, that takes care of a lot of damage. And your quarterback is great, and your coach is great, which is generally not going to make mistakes. Okay, Malcolm Smith. But it puts you ahead, right? It certainly puts you ahead. But the defense isn't all that great. You know, the offensive line, it may be below average. The receiving core, I mean, it might make Dallas look good. So that they have some issues there. But like I said, it's the division. There's no one to challenge them in that division. And that probably makes them also breathe easier. You know, they're not really all that panicked because they know, well, you know, hey, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? There's no one that can catch us. But they could get off to a rough start. I mean, look at it. Their first three games, Houston gave them a run for their money last year with Deshaun Watson. Probably should have won that game in New England if not for some poor time management by Houston. Then the next two games are on the road at Jacksonville. And then at Detroit, you got playing in Detroit's not easy anyway. And now you got the sort of rivalry there with Patrika going there. And the schedule gets easier, Miami, Indianapolis, and then it's all over. But, you know, obviously they're not going to start 0-3. But it's not out of the realm of possibility either. And I'd love to see it. Just give them some kind of adversity. Start 0-3. Let's see what happens from there.
It's going to be a fun one. Any love for the Burkheads or any of the backfield there? Or are you similar to me where you just hope and pray that Belichick actually runs one single running back week over week?
I am not playing the Bill Belichick guessing game.
Yep.
I think that promo that Sean likes to play before the show about,
yes,
you know, it's very true. And when I say that, it's the right way to run a team. Bill Belichick doesn't care about fantasy. He doesn't care about his players' stats. All he cares about is winning. And if this is a week where, according to his, you know, when he coaches things out, looks at film, it's a Rex Burkhead week. Well, then Burkhead's going to be the guy. It's a Sony Michel week. Then it'll be Michel. It's a James White out of the backfield flipping passes to him week. That's the guy. It's a combination. You just never know. He just wants to win the game. He's going to put his players in position to win the game. He doesn't care that you've got to catch in 88 straight games. I got to make sure you catch the ball. Not if the game plan doesn't call for that. He doesn't care. Doesn't give a damn. He wants to win the football game. And I applaud him for doing that. And you, when you play for Bill, you know that's all he cares about. You know, he just wants to win, which is the idea of the game, to win the game. My problem is this. I know this going in. You know, so if I started James White that week, or if I started Burkhead that week, and it's not his week, he gets nothing, it's my fault. You know, even though I thought it should have been a Burkhead week, Bill didn't. And he knows more than me. He didn't use him. Great, my fault. And I knew this guy, chance this could happen. I'm not playing that Bill Belichick guessing game. I'm not doing it.
The thing that I love about what you just said, George, and I'm with you. I may from time to time in DFS in tournaments, like in GPPs, large scale tournaments, try to guess and guess against the field and get a James White week, just to try to get a little bit of differentiation in my lineups. But I think that it's something I've harped on before. If you have an analyst, a fantasy analyst specifically, who believes they know whose week it is, who thinks that they can nail down the thinking of Bill Belichick, just walk the other way. Just don't let them try to convince you that, I got it. I've cracked the formula. The algorithm is done. I know what Belichick is going to do this week. It's going to be 20 carries for Burkhead. Gillislee's going to get the stop. Just stop. It's not going to happen. We've seen it too many years in a row now. We don't know what Bill Belichick's going to do week over week, and don't try to pretend we do. Plenty still to get to here in our final segment. Get to talk a bit more about fantasy football. Going to look at some busts and hear who George thinks may be some fantasy football busts here in 2018. Back with more after this on Fantasy Sports Today.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
Fantasy Factor is the only exclusively single-entry DFS site. They have free rolls, registering all the time, and great promotions for free prizes. Keep a lookout for Fantasy Factor's free $1 million Survivor contest opening this week. Go to FantasyFactor.com. That's FantasyFactor.com. Just the two of us here, George Kurtz and myself, bring you up till 10 a.m. where you do get a little bit of sports rage in your life. Gabriel Morency along with a cast of characters with college football today right here on Fantasy Sports Radio. That's 10 a.m. You can also check them out on iHeart and a variety of platforms as they get you ready for the college football season. In fact, we had a couple of games last week, but a full slate of games today. And college DFS is back somehow or another. DraftKings and FanDuel both releasing college football games, and they're there. I cannot play them here in Massachusetts, but for those who enjoy it, you can check it out and maybe play some over the course of the season. But again, 10 a.m., you get Gabe and crew with college football today. Now, George, one of the great things I think about fantasy sports is the ability for analysts to call themselves out for being right and or wrong. Wrong more often, I think, proves that they are open to criticism. What I want to talk about now is, who do you see as busts this year? Who are the guys that, as you look back at ADP or you look back at valuations, you think have either been overdrafted or just have the potential to bust out completely comparatively to what projections are showing? Does anyone come top to mind to you as somebody you think is primed to bust for the 2018 fantasy football season?
How about any quarterback outside of Aaron Rodgers drafted before round five?
Yep.
Or round seven. Yep. I don't even go further than that. I am not a big believer in drafting quarterbacks early, especially not this year. Outside of Aaron Rodgers, it was really tough to grade anybody else out as being a top quarterback because they're all about even, which means I could just wait forever on a quarterback. Yeah, so that's the first thing that hits me. I'll wait forever on a quarterback. And you know what? Kenyon Drake, running back. I was not all that high on him. It's not all about Kenyon Drake. Kalen Ballage is there. That he's going to take away some goal line catches. Goal line carries. I also think that Miami is a dumpster fire, especially on defense. They're going to be trailing a lot in the second half, which means they're going to have to throw the ball a lot in the second half.
I'm a big proponent of Alvin Kamara not matching his ADP. I think that he's been overdrafted, and I know he's a dynamic athlete, but I think fifth running back off the board, he's going to come in. I think he'll be a top 20 back, but I think this New Orleans offense is going to look a little bit different this year, and I think you're going to see some mixing and matching. I think he'll be top 15, not top 5, as he's been drafted. I think you get Christian McCaffrey as a top 10 running back. I think you get Jordan Howard as a top 10 running back, and I think Kamara makes a big jump back, but I don't think that's a bust per se. I think that's just a little bit of a reach. Are there any other names for you And I would say also LeSean McCoy, somebody that I think I want nothing to do with this season, from with how bad the Bills are with the off-field stuff. And he's a 30-year-old running back who's had a lot of yards and a lot of carries over the years. I would probably take a Jordan Howard ahead of a LeSean McCoy. But any other names that stand out as people get ready to draft today that maybe are off your board, not even bust, but guys that you're avoiding for one reason or another?
I would take Howard over McCoy as well. And I don't want to say avoid, but guys who I've lowered in my rankings, Ezekiel Elliott. You know, as soon as I found out about, Travis Frederick's out, we don't know when he's coming back. Zach Martin is starting the season with a bad knee. He'll play, but he's still got the bad knee. One more injury to that offensive line, and Dallas is done. They're a 4-12 team. That's really all it comes down to there. They have no one to throw to there. So Ezekiel Elliott is someone I'm certainly worried about. I'm not the only person who's worried about A.J. Green. I mean, in the later drafts I did, he went from being a borderline first-round pick to being at the end of the second round, top third round. So people are starting to be a little worried about A.J. Green. I think it's more about Andy Dalton than it is about Green, but I have some worries there. I'm not a big Tyreek Hill guy with Kansas City. I just think, you know, a one-trick pony is probably being a little rude, but I think it's really what he is. Got to get deep. And I know Mahomes has a bazooka and can reach him anywhere on the field, but I think it's a lot to ask there. And it just worries me that they don't have for lack of a better term, a real NFL receiver there, because Watkins sort of does the same thing on the other side, a deep guy. I know they've been trying to get Watkins to be more of an all-around receiver in camp, but that hasn't worked. And right now the chemistry doesn't seem to be there with him or I just don't like that passing offense all that much outside of Kelsey there. So Watkins and Hill both I'm not a big fan of.
It's a situation there in Kansas City where everyone wants to anoint Patrick Mahomes, and I get it. The arm is there, but this is a defense that's going to be terrible. Maybe I'm seeing it differently than you, but I just see a defense that's going to struggle mightily on the year. Talk about DFS. This is a team that I'm going to target a decent amount. And in turn, you have to like the upside for Mahomes because he's going to be trailing. He's going to have to throw the ball, but you look at who his head coach is and you wonder how often that's going to happen. And you wonder about clock management. You wonder about those things. But Mahomes is somebody that I'm really think is going to have a negative impact on some teams in fantasy football this year. The interceptions are going to be high. Like if you play in a league that has negative points for interceptions and you better because it's part of the game, it's going to really be, I think, an even race for him on the year between TDs and interceptions. Now, maybe it's TDs or 4 points and interceptions or one minus one or minus two. So you net out some points, but you're really taking a big hit there with someone like Mahomes on the year because of the high propensity for the interceptions. You were talking during the break, George. It looks like, according to Rap Sheet, Ian Rappaport, the Bears are getting the Oakland Raiders are getting 2 first-round picks for the trade for Khalil Mack and potentially more. So it's actually 2 first-rounders plus for Mack. So we'll wait to see what that plus is. They get what they wanted, right? So the Raiders get back the 2 first-rounders. We talked a bit before about I don't like to be an accountant when it comes to fantasy sports. I don't know about you, George, but I don't like to try to measure, well, you know, they saved on his annual average salary by going to the rookies here. Rookies are unproven. Draft picks are unproven. So you're getting a proven skill guy in Mack on the defensive line, and you're giving him up for 2 first-round picks, which should help, and you want to stock as many of those as you can. Still grades out as a pretty good trade for Chicago, right? Even giving up 2 first-rounders?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, Chicago was able to do this because they have Mitch Trubisky, the quarterback, on the rookie deal, so they don't have to pay him yet. You know, a couple of years down the line here, this would be very interesting to see how they, assuming Trubisky pans out, when you got to pay him in 2-3 years. You know, Max, apparently they're going to pay Mac now more than Aaron Donald. So that means he's going to average about $23 million a season. Wow. You know, you're reading reports now. The Raiders, I didn't realize, but maybe the Raiders are cash poor. You know, that could also be a reason they couldn't sign Mac.
Potentially.
They couldn't give him the upfront bonus money, $60, $70 million, whatever it was going to be. So it makes you wonder if that was part of this, the reasoning as well. I mean, you have to like it for the Bears, right? Because you're giving up 2 number ones. We don't know what the apparently they're giving 2 number ones plus a player. That's what the Raiders wanted, and that's what they got. I don't know what player it is yet. How is a good player, an average player? Who knows? We don't know yet. But you know, the Bears should be an improved team this year. So even if things, you know, they should be at least on the playoff bubble. So they'll be drafting around 18. Max easily worth that. So even the second number one in 2020, where Bears conceivably could even be a better team. And my pick might be in the low 20s, 22, 23. You know, maybe even worse, 25, 26. So when you look at it that way, unless that player is dynamic, I can see why the Bears did this. You know, they're making a big splash now. They're good. I don't want to say they're going for it, but they are. You know, you got Trubisky. You signed Allen Robinson. You signed Trey Burton. You just traded for Khalil Mack. I mean, wow. The Bears have had a hell of an offseason here. I think the rest of the NFC North has to take notice here. You now have Khalil Mack in your division. He's coming after Rodgers. He's coming after Stafford. He's coming after Cousins. You know, as soon as he gets up to speed here, I wonder what this defense can actually do. You look at the guys they've added, Roquan Smith, who granted had the weird contract holdout by not wanting to give him the offset language. But now that's all done. He's back up to speed. This defense, once everyone's there and ready to play, I mean, by midseason, or actually by October, they're going to be a defense that no one wants to face.
I agree. I think this is a team over the course of the year that is going to be trouble for opposing offenses. I think this pass rush is going to be good. I said it earlier. I think from a DFS perspective, this is going to be a team probably going to be high priced across the platforms, but you will get some gigantic upside from them on the year because of when they face poor offensive lines, it's just going to be monumental when it comes to pass rush. It's going to be so much upside and so much potential for what they get done. As we look to close out the Saturday show, a few more minutes here, are there any last words for those drafting today? Any players you've moved up rankings from the start of the year or on your draft board that you would like to have more of, that you wish you did have better assessment of to start the year, that you want people to know heading into their drafts on Saturday, hey, target this guy, or hey, look at this guy in the 7th or the 10th when you think others may not see them? Who are those guys that who have made the jump up your rankings?
Yeah, I don't know if there are any specific guys. I think by now everyone's done their studying. My advice would be this. You know, the only round you should map out as far as a plan is the first round. You know if you're picking 8th, list your top 8 players and follow that list. You know, after that, let the draft come to you. You mentioned it earlier. Weird things happen during a draft, and you can't be thrown off by it. You know, well, oh my God, I can't believe the first out of the first 12 picks, 11 of them are running backs. I've seen that. And Antonio Brown was the only wide receiver that went in there because everyone's going running back crazy. About the only thing I guarantee in a draft is I know what my first round pick is going to be because I'll map it out. And I know in the first 2 rounds, I'm going to have 1 running back. Yeah, I might go running back, but I'm not going wide receiver. Odds are against it anyway. There's always a chance. It didn't happen this year, but you know, I could end up getting Antonio Brown in round 1, and oh my God, Michael Thomas fell to whatever, 22 in round 2. Okay, maybe I can't pass up that value then. There's always a chance that happens. But generally, like I said, I know what my first round guy is. I'm just going to follow the list and take the guy in order. So that's how I'm going there. Second round, like I said, if I did that a wide receiver in round 1, odds are I'm going running back in round 2 because I do not want to go 0 running back. Almost never want to do that, not on purpose. It does happen, but not on purpose. Other than that, let the draft come to you. Don't say, I'm going running back, no matter what. Don't do that because, you know, you don't know what value is going to fall to you. You just don't. Wait on quarterback. And when I say wait on quarterback, people sometimes get, they think, oh, you must never have Aaron Rodgers on your team. When I say wait on a quarterback, his ADP is around end of round 3, end of round 4. If he's there in round 6, then I'll have Aaron Rodgers on my team. The value fell to me. You know, then I'll take him. But if he's going in round 4, no, I won't have him. I'll wait till round 9, round 10. If you're playing in a one quarterback league, you know, a standard league, one quarterback, they're all, you can wait forever on the quarterback. You'll enjoy your team much better if you load up on wide receivers, load up on running backs especially. Tight end is another position I'm willing to wait on. Not far because you probably want to get one of the top 8, top 9 guys, but really make sure you get your running back's most important of all. And don't be afraid in PPR league to take the guys like Duke Johnson, Giovanni Bernard, Chris Thompson. These guys catch so many balls in PPRs that they'll pay for themselves. These are not guys you're looking to start anyway. You know, you're looking to cover your bye weeks. You're looking to get some definite points during your bye weeks, and these guys will help you out there.
Yep, always a good point in PPR leagues to keep an eye on That little extra when it comes to running back, somebody who I think has gone completely forgotten this year is Bilal Powell for the Jets. Now, again, to George's point, it's not about drafting him early, but you find that ADP soft point, maybe draft him a half round earlier than his ADP in a deeper league. I think he's going to be somebody, again, from a PPR perspective, that could have a big season and could be part of this offense for the Jets. Injuries have sapped a lot of their best players when it comes to Anderson and Nunwa. Curses out. So, again, even throw Terrell Pryor into the mix there for the Jets. I think that Powell's gone virtually overlooked in a lot of leagues, and he's a running back that can fill in on those bye weeks, on the weeks that you need some upside in a PPR and give you some potential top-end play. He's shown it before. He's done a good job of it. What are you making of Adrian Peterson there in Washington? Do you have any interest in any of the Washington running backs, or are you staying far, far away from the Redskins?
Well, unfortunately for me, Dan, I was a big Darius Geis believer. And a lot of leagues I drafted were early. So I have some decisions to make. Obviously, Geis is out for the year. I'll need to replace him in, I think, at least three leagues. And AP is available in every one of them. You know, once again, running back, any running back with a pulse has value. It's hard for me to believe that AP will be great all year long. But I'm going to have to bid on him, and I'm probably going to have to make sure I get him. Because by having Geis, I spent a third-round pick in these leagues. He's my running back, too. Now, I don't have – none of us are really all that deep in running back. I need a replacement here, so I'm going to have to make sure I get him. And to say I believe in him, that'd be a lie. You know, but he's the best of what's out there right now in those leagues. I'm going to have to hope he can hold up, and I don't think he can over a long season. It looks good now. I mean, I guess if you want the optimistic viewpoint, it told you a lot on signing day. You know, for Adrian Peterson, the Redskins told us, we're going to bring in a couple of backs here. We're not going to sign anybody right away. All of a sudden, AP is there, has a workout. They weren't letting him leave. So he must have been pretty good in that workout, must have been in great shape. Yeah, you want to have hope here. Like I said, I'm annoyed because I know I'm going to spend a decent part of my fab budget to make sure I get him. And obviously, I'm not happy about it. He's not going to be what Geis would have been. He's not going to be an every down back. He's first and second down. Third down, they'll have Chris Thompson to catch the balls, which makes the Redskins offense sort of very predictable. When AP's in there, probably a run. When he's not, probably a pass. So, as I said, it's hard to be excited about AP at this point.
Yep, I think that's it. And I think you made the great point before about Aaron Rodgers, about ADP overall, and this goes for any fantasy sport. It's about getting the proper value. I made mention earlier about value per round. It's about drafting to get value out of every single pick you're making, not just about one, not just about your last pick. It's not the last three rounds that need to be, you know, flyers. It's getting value all the way through to the end. A lot of times people reach, you know, in NFL drafts, rounds 11, 12, and 13, they're like, oh, I'm going to take rookie wide receivers who might see the field. You know, you think of guys in Denver. No, like, you need to keep drafting through to the end for value at every draft spot, value at every position. Make sure you're getting the best potential players across your entire roster. Yeah, you may miss out on a home run. Was it Sutton there in Denver? You may miss out on a home run. And yeah, that happens. But what if it's the downside of it? You have to take all possible outcomes into consideration. And the idea of any of these rookies absolutely exceeding expectations is still pretty low. We've seen some great rookies. We've seen the Odell Beckham Juniors of the world, but those are few and far between, and we have to remember that. So I think it's really important as you go through, find value at every position, find value at every draft slot. And what I mean by that is making sure that you're getting players at the proper cost. You're not reaching. You're not trying to push anything unless it's somebody that you absolutely have to have and you know the room and you know you're going to have to go ahead of them with ADP. It's been a great Saturday here with George Kurtz. Great inaugural run here on Fantasy Sports Day, the weekend edition on FNTSY. Of course, you do have college football today coming up next with Gabriel Morency and crew. You'll want to stay tuned for that right here on FNTSY Radio. For George Kurtz, Dan Strafford saying thank you so much. Best of luck in all of your fantasy football drafts. Enjoy the college football. Football is around the corner. Enjoy the rest of your day.